The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 512. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
I am back, bitches. Got power and everything.
Yay. Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo.
Brett Murdoch.
I am also powerful.
Yes. Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Manjoma.
Sadly, no beach episodes.
No beach episodes. Nobody wants to see a beach episode of Throwdown, man. I guarantee you that, you know? Even the gay guys wouldn't want to watch that shit, you know? They'd be like, no. We'll be canceled, you know? All right, that already got demonetized. Nintendo, you know? Oh, man. All right, we are back with another one, question show. Didn't get a lot of questions this week. So if you have any questions, let us know in the chat now. If not, this will be a very short show, which is fine. let's get into it. Well, this first question, it's a doozy, people. Heavy, you know? Jay Shep, I'm not sure of everyone's age on the panel, but for the gamers in their late 30s and early 50s, my man really went out there.
You doubled it.
Yeah, are we? Although, Manny, you and I are going to be getting closer to 50 next year, bro.
Oh, yeah, man.
Anyway, I'm not sure of everyone's age on the panel, but for the gamers in their late 30s and early 50s, are we harder to please than the younger generation of gamers because we've seen every story, mechanic, and gimmick possible? We constantly complain about gaming while the games that I have, we constantly complain about gaming while the games that I say are meh end up doing great numbers, or maybe games are no longer being developed to appeal to us. What are your thoughts? The heavy one, man. Like, have we grown cynical as gamers? You know,
that's like a all of the above type question.
You know,
because everything's true. We you know, when we get older, it's just natural that we get more cynical. And in terms of, you know, having the whole seeing everything is part of it. You know, seeing how games have evolved. You know, some of us even go back to the Atari days, which is far back. And, you know, we've seen everything, and it's harder to please, you know, a certain gamer when they've seen it all. And like, for example, for me, one of the things that I like is innovation in games. And, you know, when you see like the Cambrian explosion of video games, and then now we're more of a saturated period, it's like kind of devastating. And it's just a perspective that not many people have other than people that are our age or older. So, you know, when you're a young person, you're in your, you know, in your teens, maybe early 20s, your reference doesn't go that far. And most of what you see is sort of just what normal life is. For us, we've kind of been imprinted by our experiences now, and we just have so much, you know, what's the term? We have so much, you know, history. It's just hard to carve into it, you know, to etch into our brains, you know, experiences that, you know, will please us. And, you know, yeah. Going back to that, and just real quick, going back to the whole part of not being cynical in terms of just the actual video games, but in terms of looking at it in the perspective of video game making is not what it used to be. And it's not like get off my lawn type of a perspective. It's more of like corporations have taken hold of video games.
And
Wow. Okay. I want to hear this because Carlos, I'm glad you said it because that was a point I really want to make home. Games are not made the way they used to be, but go ahead, Brett. Well, unless you got to finish Carlos, did you finish your point?
Yeah, that's okay. Pretty much it.
Go ahead, Brett.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I was trying to throw my hat in the ring. Like, I know what you're saying, and I've thought the same thing for a while, and after careful consideration, I've come to realize that I pretty strongly disagree. And here's the thing. I think it's an issue of us being old and refusing to move on with the times. And I think Brian will echo this to maybe not. Brian's like a wild card, so who knows? But
you're a wild card, bruh.
I know. A lot of the things that we talk about, like, oh, well, back in our day, there were so many video games. They were being made with smaller budgets. They were being made with smaller teams, but more love. That still happens. It's just called the indie scene. And a lot of us don't engage with that for reasons just that we have had expectations kind of like stock sharing, right? Like, we've just had this expectation that everything's going to get bigger and better and faster and cooler, and that never let up. And that's why we kind of ended up with this weird Ubisoft everything game. But in the indie side, you know, it's not even like we think it was, you know, 10, 15 years ago, right? Like, where a lot of these games aren't necessarily, like, a lot of times now, indie stuff is some of the best stuff you can do. It has a decent enough budget, has a decent enough talent, a handful of people can do amazing things. But I think our problem is that we get so used to, oh, the next big thing, and it has to be bigger and brighter and blah, blah, blah. So now we're just at this point where we're watching, it's like watching only blockbuster movies and being like, well, where'd the soul of cinema go? Back in my day, I used to watch art projects made by 3 to 5 people, and now all these multi-billion Hollywood movies have no soul. Well, yeah, because we've outgrown those little things and moved on to these multi-billion dollar Hollywood things, and if the budget isn't just absolutely bloated, we don't want to see it. But as somebody who's curved away from that, I have to say, I think the amount of games and the quality of games might honestly rival when we were younger, because if you put the games that I'm playing now, even indie games, side by side with the games I grew up with, the games now are objectively better. And I feel like there are objectively more of them. There were some amazing games, but a lot of those amazing games were defined by limits of the genre that are no longer there. So if we can all take off our old man glasses long enough, there's a ton of really great content out there that we just aren't seeing. And don't get me wrong, the game makers are making a lot of garbage, but unless you're willing to, you know, Brian did it first, I followed in his footsteps, and come to find out, yeah, there's you cut down the weeds and you travel into the jungle, and you're like, oh, here's all the amazing video games, and here's all a bunch of amazing developers who have broken away from these big companies and are kind of doing their own thing. I do think that we have oversaturation, and I do think we have issues in the industry, but I don't think it's just, well, where have all the good games gone? Because I think that we're still getting a lot of games, and if you especially compare it to my youth, like, yeah, there were hundreds of video games out, but not all of them were gems, and even the ones that are gems, if I put them directly compared to the games, compare the games I played then directly compared to some of the more, you know, high-budget indie titles today, the ones today, I'm pretty sure that they come out looking better. It's just hard to look around our biases and be like, well, it's an indie game, or, you know, if you account for, you know, Secret of Mana, like, Secret of Mana is an amazing RPG. Does it hold up as a top contender when compared to all of, you know, even, like, Sea of Stars and things like that? Like, I don't rightly know. But, you know, judging by the way that we talk, you know, Legend of Mana should just be one of the greatest RPGs of all time, but, like, is it really better than Octopath Traveler? Is it really better than, you know, some of the smaller RPGs? I don't think so. I don't think it's better than Sea of Stars, necessarily.
Well, yeah.
There's a lot of stuff I gotta read, because I kind of disagree with everything you just said, Brett, for the most part. I will agree that we probably have way more games than we ever had in our youth. And I think that's also the problem, because now, since you could just have any kind of anybody make a video game, we've just gotten a glut of shit. And as someone who's mostly reviewed indie games as a video game reviewer, I can tell you right now, they're not as innovative as people make them to be. There's a lot of pixel art games, Castlevania games, RT games that's hiding some weird message and shit. They're not as, like, you know, innovative as people think. The space can be innovative, and I think it was, like, for a while, but now it's gotten just as homogenous as the AAA space. Also, what you brought up, like, you know, Sea of Stars and games like that, you know, are objectively better than Secret of Mana, maybe on a technical and like visual level. But those games wouldn't exist without games like Secret of Mana.
I'm not saying that, though.
I didn't interrupt you when you went, bro. I didn't interrupt you. A lot of what I see now in both indie and AAA is that they're copying, they're on the shoulders of giants, of people who actually innovated. So I kind of see both sides as just not being as good as it used to be, because they're just riffing off everything. Everything's a fucking remake now. Everything's ripping off of this. And then we have the other part with the AAAs. Everything has to be boardroom gaming, has to be super approved and stuff. It wasn't like it was before, where you had like three guys who were passionate about shit and just made stuff. Like, I know that happens now, but even indie games take a long fucking time to make. You hear about these indie games that have been developing for like 5-8 years. That's just as bad as the fucking AAA space. So I do think that things were more, at least more innovative back in the day, because to be fair, everything has kind of been done already. So like in the past, everything was just new. Now we've had games for 40 years, so everything's just become kind of like standardized. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I don't think you don't see any, not any, because you do see some, but you don't see a lot of innovation across the board the way you used to, just because you can't, you know? There's other stuff I want to jump in, but I want you to rebut that.
I think that, oh man, there's a lot to unpack there. I'm not great at keeping focus. I think, sorry, could you kind of touch bit on those points again?
One of the main ones is that indie games are not as innovative as people make them out to be, because a lot of them are just ripping off the same fucking genres. How many Castlevanias have you seen? How many pixel art ones have you seen? How many Art Nouveau games with weird messages haven't you seen?
A ton.
You know what I'm saying?
There's a ton. I'm not saying like, and there is a ton of garbage in there too. Don't get me wrong. But I think that there's more innovation there than you are seeing in the AAA market space, for sure.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that, because there is, but these innovations aren't really like changing anything. Because again, I always say it's easy to make something new. It's hard to make something new that lasts. You know, because I played them too. Like, oh, that's doing something I've never seen before. That's kind of quirky, and it just never goes on to be big. And I don't think it can, because the industry's so fucking big now. It's not like before. If somebody had a cool idea, there weren't a lot of games. Like, okay, let's all do this now, you know?
Okay, Tony, so like, I know this is neither of our type of game, but like, say like Plague's Tale, right? People fucking loved Plague's Tale. It got a ton of awards. Not like a game I've played that I can think of exactly off the top of my head. It's built of elements that seem kind of familiar. Sure, it's got some, escort quest kind of thing going on. And I don't think it's built out of innovation, but I think it's a neat thing. And I see a lot of games kind of like that. What I'm saying, I guess, is I think that we are kind of in an echo chamber of diminishing returns, right? Where I'm like, okay, if I only like the things that I like and they stop making as many of the things that I like, if I don't start to like new genres, then I'm going to, you know, have things taken off the table. The big thing of this is, you know, Tony, one of the big difference between you and I is I've seen the brand new invention of like survival and building as kind of genres that have opened up. You know, I've seen video games in the last decade that didn't exist that now are a thing. So, I mean, I kind of have to call that.
Yeah, and I think, and I'm glad you bring those up, because those are two genuinely like innovative things that have happened in the last 10 years. I'm not going to disagree with that. Survival has become huge, you know, so much that it's even trickled into other games that aren't survival. That's how you know something is innovative, you know?
Yeah, that started in the indie space.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but I mean,
go ahead, Carlos, go ahead.
But I mean, like something like DayZ is already 11 years old. So it's like, you know, we can only give so much credit to the past, you know?
I mean, how often do you want a new genre to be invented?
Yeah, that kind of proves my point that more and more we're just riffing off the past instead of coming up with something new. But I also don't want to use that as a cudgel, because it is very difficult to come up with something new, and it's going to keep getting harder the longer this industry keeps going. You know,
it's like Cookie Man. Like, you're gonna it's about remixing the same old things into something new. Right, like you can't tell a new story, you can't draw a new picture, you can't do a new thing, but you can kind of redo it in a way that hasn't necessarily been done before. And I'm not saying, again, I want to make it real clear, I'm not saying that like indie space is the holy grail that saves everything. I'm just saying like we find ourselves in a space where we limit the new things that we are trying, and then don't get as much of the old things as they used to have because there's just not as much of a market for it. And so we inevitably find ourselves with diminishing options unless we're going to intentionally expand our horizons.
Yeah. But, you know, to that point, because, you know, the one of the questions was like, are they not making games for us? I think there's some truth to that as well, because it's like, okay, you could expand your horizons, but what if you don't like those horizons? Not everybody can like everything. Not,
we're too, like, we are too, we are a, we have been outnumbered by like, what, the dude, the gamers from 1980 compared to gaming as a whole, like, we're a small sliver of the pie now. Of course they're not making things directly for us. We used to be the whole industry. Now we're a small percentage of it. That's just how things work.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with that part. Were you going to say, Carlos, if you had anything to add to that? But if not, Manny, go ahead, and then Manny could go after Carlos.
I just completely disagreed with Brett's point about the point, not the actual, you know, like the whole thing about games being better, like Sea of Stars than Secret of Mana.
Yeah, that part,
like,
I wholeheartedly disagree with.
It's like 30 years of hindsight. You know, it's tough to just even compare that.
But no, I mean, see, that's the thing, and that's kind of my point. That's the old man glasses that you guys are not taking off. You're like, well, you gotta remember, you gotta keep in mind. No, you don't gotta remember.
Yes, you do, because you have to remember where these things came from, man.
See, this thing. If a 9-year-old is coming to sit down today and is seeing both of these games for the first time, they don't have to think about 30 years of history. They don't have to think about where they came from. They just have to think whether the re-release of Secret of Mana is as good as Sea of Stars. That's all they need to think about. Everything else is through our old man glasses, and not everybody has those, is my point.
No, yeah, I get what you're saying, but like, at the same time, you know, and I'm glad you were kind of talking about age here, because age does play a factor. I'm not going to expect a 9-year-old to know this stuff, but when that kid's like 12 or 13, I expect them to know, especially if they're going to be a real gamer. It's like, you got to do your history here. It's funny, I actually had this kind of little bit of this conversation on Twitter. It was about, I forgot what it was. Basically, I said, I don't understand how you can be into some form of entertainment and not at least understand the industry and history around it. Like, to me, you're not. I know that's how most people are. But I don't operate that way. If I get into something, Brett, I need to know everything around it. You know what I mean?
I mean, like Casablanca, Tony. Huh? That shit's that Casablanca, the movie.
But I know about it. But I know about it. I know the history of the movie. I know the impact it had on the industry. Why? Because I like movies. Understand? So it's like, I can't just be like, okay, how can I call myself a movie fan if I don't know at least the general history of the movie industry? That would be
facetious. You can know the general history, but that doesn't mean you like Casablanca.
No, it doesn't. But you're just focusing on one thing I'm talking about. You should at least know the grand picture, you know?
I mean, I don't disagree with that, but I don't know that that's necessary to be able to tell if something's a good game or not.
No, I agree with you, because I still think the 9-year-old still have fun with some motherfucking Secret of Mana.
Here's the thing. I'm not advocating that Sea of Stars is better than Secret of Mana. What I'm saying is everybody talks like our quality of game has just plummeted. And I'm like, you know, just because Sea of Stars isn't like Fallout levels of polish, right? Like, you want to compare that to Legend of Mana, I think that's a fair comparison, right? Yeah. And yeah, what's that?
Oh, sorry. Finish your point, Brett. Sorry.
I think that that's a fair comparison. And yes, one is 30 years newer than the other one, but that's bias. That's not just looking at the thing in front of you and being like, are they? Because it's not about which is better. It's are they kind of in the same realm of good? And that's even saying a lot, because Secret of Mana is fucking, that's a heavy hitter, right? Like, that goes, that's a Hall of Famer. And so to even say that Sea of Stars comes fucking close is a huge fucking compliment. To say Octopath Traveler comes close is a huge compliment to them. So I think that it's not that they're better, it's that these are proof that we still get good quality games. They just don't always come from the places that we expect them to.
But that's my biggest issue with just that. It's like you're comparing a game from 2024 to a game from the 90s. And
which, you know, ironically enough, has been remade.
Which has been remade. And the whole thing here is, if you give a 9-year-old or a 12-year-old Secret of Mana and then compared it to Sea of Stars, shout out to Rich, they're going to think Sea of Stars is way better than it. It looks better. It runs better. Everything. But if you give that same kid, you know, when in their late teens, early 20s, and you're like, hey, you know, this is, you know, this game came out 30 years after. And he's like, wow, not much has changed, huh? You know?
Because he just has a fresh coat of paint. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because he has more knowledge. Yeah.
But that's changed how good, like, how does knowing, like, if you bring me two apple pies and I try them and they're like, they're both pretty good. You're like, one of them was baked by a one-handed retarded kid. I'm not going to be like, oh, well, that one's better. Like, I don't need to know the fuck. Like, that's the thing that pisses me off. If you have to know the artist statement to judge something, you're not judging it right.
But okay? You can't tell the difference between pies by looking at them. You can't tell the difference between video games by looking at them. It's a totally different thing, man.
Well, yeah, man. If you're comparing like Sea of Stars to like Secret of Mana, right? And you shouldn't have to know the history to be able to judge things. I'm not saying you shouldn't know the history, but I am saying, like, if you have to be like, well, keep in mind this is 30 years older, then you're just starting to add conditions to, like, oh, well, they're about equally as good, except, you know, you have
no. 30 years old. That's what you don't get, Brett. We were with you. Sea of Stars is probably objectively a better game than Secret of Mana. No one is denying that. The whole thing we're saying is, when we look at a game, when we as gamers were alive and playing video games when Secret of Mana came out, and we are alive and playing video games when Sea of Stars came out, and 30 years have happened between that, we're that's our perspective. We're like, damn, this is that's all we accomplished. You know, we're not on flying cars anymore. We're not colonizing Mars. We're still playing the same old tunes.
Just okay, with so is the problem that we don't paint? Have video game quality video games to play, or we haven't as progressed as much as we had imagined that we would? That seems like two different conversations.
No, it's not, because part of what, for me, and I'm speaking for myself, part of what made me fall in love with video games was the innovation. It's looking at the horizons and seeing what's new and seeing what changed, the different types of games that I could play, different experiences. If I'm honestly not the person that's like, shit, I want to play Halo until I'm 50. I want to play Halo 2 until I'm 50. That's not me. I don't want to play the same game for the next 20 years. Honestly, if we keep getting the same games, even if they're still good, then I'm done with video games. I don't really care.
I mean, but have you broken out of your comfort zone and tried anything new?
Yeah, played indie games.
What they're different. Like, what have you played that's kind of a different type of game than you normally play recently?
Recently, let me see. I played Space Marines. I've never played a Space Marines game.
Oh, come on, man! That's a third party action game that is right up our alley.
When you ask me what game I played that I normally haven't played, and I can't give you the answer you want to hear.
The answer that you don't say is like you're not taking yourself outside. Like I don't like.
What you want me to say? Path of Exile, and say that I'm playing a Diablo clone.
What? I mean, I want you to say anything.
I did, and you weren't happy about it.
Anything other than the same AAA bullshit that the main studios have been shoveling down our gullets for the past 10 years. You can't not step out of line and expect something different, man.
All right, I played Astrobot. How about that? I don't usually play platformers.
Hey, Brett, I want to jump in here real quick. Because, you know, you know me, obviously. I have played a lot of these indie games because I've had to review many of them, and my mind hasn't been changed. So so you could say I have stepped out of my comfort zone, and I still like it. My point to you is, like, if someone doesn't like salmon, you could give them the best cooked salmon ever. They're not going to like it. They may appreciate the salmon, like, oh, shit, that's some damn good work you put into that shit. I appreciate that. But if you don't like something, you don't like something, man.
Yeah, and I get that. But here's the thing. You're like a person who's like, I only eat cheeseburgers. And in 2024... there's less places that make cheeseburgers than there was in 1980. So since I only eat cheeseburgers and there's less cheeseburgers now, they just don't make good food anymore. It's like, they make good food. They make all kinds of new good food. It's just not cheeseburgers. And since you've decided that you only want cheeseburgers, yes, your menu is getting more limited. It absolutely is. But that doesn't mean that food is getting more limited. That's a huge thing.
What about the... the quality of the burger. It's like, hey, man, you used to have this really great cook. The fuck happened? Then you got this new guy. He's not really doing that much. That's kind of the way I feel. You know what I mean, Brett? I'm like, okay, like, I like my burgers. When I get a good burger, I'm fat, happy as fuck. But you got to get a good cook because these burgers ain't as good as they used to be, bro. You know? As a matter of fact, fuck that, man. Hold on. I remember when I was a kid, Pepsi tasted way better. What the fuck? I still like Pepsi, but they ain't giving me the Pepsi I want. They're giving me this bullshit instead. You know? I got to go get this Mexican shit. You know? Anyway, sorry, Brad. I had to go off on that. Where's my motherfucking Pepsi?
I mean, that's a great example. You got to get the Mexican shit now. You got to look a little harder and get something different. That same thing.
But the Mexicans are making it's the same formula I used to have back. Oh my god! But you know, jokes aside, that's my point. It's like, here's the thing. I don't like it when people go, oh, you need to step out of comfort zone. No, people like what they like, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But if people aren't getting the same quality of the things that they like, I understand why they're upset. You know what I'm saying?
I know. I do too. And nobody said that I wasn't, man. Like, I never said that you're not suffering quality issues. I'm not saying that we're not suffering bloat and a lack of good idea. I'm not saying we have this problem of corporate bloat that is kind of fucking up. Yeah. Like, I agree with a lot of the things you guys are saying, and I have those same pains. But what I am saying is, it's not like we don't have new stuff and innovation.
It's out there. It's absolutely out there. I agree with you that, because when that shit comes, it hits good. It's mm-hmm. real good, you know? Think about it like this, man. Let's just be honest here. These Soulsborne games that we're playing, right? They're not really innovating that much, but they're fucking good. They're the chef that makes the good shit you want, you know?
But I mean, like, how many of y'all played Sifu? How many of y'all played Stray besides Manny?
Yeah, I have played those, and they're good, but, you know, not my thing. Well,
Tony, here's the thing with you, you know? Like, specifically for you, you're a bit of an odd duck in that you enjoy budget. You enjoy spectacle.
I do.
So you are always going to like the blockbusters. You are the guy who, as long as they spent $300 million on it, you're probably going to be a happy guy.
Unless it's Dragon Age fail card.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like, yo, the restaurant looks nice. But what's up with this fucking food, bruh?
Yeah.
You know, but again, but Brett, that's my point. It's like, I played Sifu. I played a little bit of Astray. Cool games that are objectively good at what they do. Just, they're not going to wow me at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I get that. And I'm not talking shit on anybody. But
I know.
I'm sitting there, I was like, you know, I've branched off into indie games. I've branched off into other genres. I'm still eating good. I know that there's still a bunch of great content that still gets made, and a lot of it even is different. You know, it's a lot of it's like battle royale shit that we're not fucking interested in, but it is still fucking content. It's still content that gets a lot of players. So I don't know so much. It's that content is there. It's just that, you know, our tastes are a bit fucking antiquated, and they're starting to cater less and less to those every single year.
Yeah, I'm not saying I don't think you're wrong about that, because obviously, and remember, we're old heads, man. We've been around since this industry practically started, so obviously our tastes are going to be different than, you know, a 9-year-old playing Fortnite or my nephew playing fucking Roblox. You know, I can't get that motherfucker to play no Sonic the Hedgehog, which is weird to me. You know,
and that goes back to my point, and I'm pretty sure now that we all talk about it, talk through it, Brett agrees with us. It's everything. All of it is perspective.
It's all of it.
I'm pretty sure there's people that fucking love Diablo 4. Brett doesn't. And there's a reason, and a good reason why Elon Musk. He doesn't love Brett 4.
Have you heard what he said? He said he's the best Diablo 4 player, like, or something.
That
like
motherfucker that. Is.
He apparently is, like, objectively.
Yeah, no, he actually is. He did. He fucking cleared, like, this fucking super hard content with a world record. Like, the dude can legitimately flex. He is a top-tier Diablo player. That shit shot. Like, motherfucker, aren't you making rockets and shit?
It's amazing. All right. Yeah, go ahead. Please.
I'm not going to dwell on some arguments being made, but I do see the arguments from both sides, and it does make sense. But then also, okay, firstly, I really like this question because everyone seems to have a very different angle to it and very different answers, which is fantastic. And my angle is I've been conditioned on all those tech on all those tech demos that at this point have not come true. Because how many times have we seen some Unreal demo or some PS2 demo, some PS3 demo where they were like, oh yeah, you can do all these things now with this cool new tech. And then obviously that never happened. So hence just like, okay, let's wait until the next generation where when they have more power to do it. And then next generation comes, they have more power, but yet none of that ever materializes. And then it loops again, you know? I mean, I'm like, the closest thing I have played to that Gears of War demo on the 360 where they were like, oh yeah, you can have all these characters on screen and look how amazing it is Space Marines 2, you know, a PS5 game. So, and the PS5 is, what, how many times more powerful than a 360, you know? What, yeah. The 360 had 512 megabytes of RAM, you know? Like, that, I don't think you can buy a phone that has less RAM than that. I don't think you can buy a watch that has less RAM than that at these days. So living in that type of world where those were the expectations being set, and it really gets met, I mean, destructible environments... We still haven't got, in my opinion, we still have not gotten a game that has better environment destruction than Battlefield 3. Every other game has kind of just been either slightly as good or just nowhere near. Even Red Faction, the ones that on, yeah, that one. Even that game, you have such amazing destruction, and games now don't even have a fraction of that. It's just embarrassing, and you're just left there wondering why. You know, we have the power. Again, these consoles are way more powerful than they've ever been, but yet we're not getting any of that. And to me, that feeds into why I'm just not overly happy with most games. It's the expectations set by the industry has not been met by the industry, and hence, is it my fault for like wanting them to meet the expectation that they set? Or
Cyberpunk?
What? Cyberpunk's a whole other problem in itself.
And I love Cyberpunk, and I love Cyberpunk, but what they gave us in that initial reveal trailer, it's not who we got in the game. And I love Cyberpunk, you know. So basically, Brian, I'm agreeing with you. They're giving us these expectations that they don't meet. It basically, the whole industry's become
watchdogs.
Oh my god! Yeah. Anyway, continue. Now I'm really upset.
Oh no, that's just my point of view of my answer to this question as to why I feel this way. It's not that they're not catering to me. It's just that the stuff that they said that they're going to do, they have not done, and it's just kind of sad just watching it not happen.
Yeah. Anyway, Manny, get in here, man.
Oh, so yeah, I would say I do agree with that. The game, a lot of the, you know, that we're getting now are not as good or as innovative as the things that we've had before. But yeah, I also agree with the fact that it was that because it was there was not a lot of people in that game doing that thing. And then also, I would also say to add is also the speed of things where. You could innovate and you could do all these things a lot quicker, you know, get these things out a lot quicker and not have to kill yourselves to make these things. Okay, you know, there's for as much as you know Capcom or Square Enix and stuff like that had put out in the old days, not all of those things were amazing games, you know? But the thing is that they didn't spend a lot of money on it, so it's like, all right, you know, move on, boom. Okay, we got this one, all right, let's go to that. Like nowadays, even with indie titles, you still have to to create those games. Even is 3 to 5 years, you know, it's a lot. So I think a lot of times what stifling the industry is actually just the expectations of the general public itself, where it's like, okay, you know, you have a little game. I'll put out an example, like the game Slitterhead, it's made by Toyama, smaller game. Only a 30 man team that made that game in 3 years. But you hear a lot of rhetoric right now, you know, and it's not a full priced game. You hear a lot of rhetoric right now. Oh, hey, it doesn't do this. It doesn't have voice acting. It doesn't have all this. So in other words, you're having all these expectations on a game that really wasn't supposed to be that way in the first place. So I think a lot that's a lot of the things that seems to happen these days, where it's like, oh no, it's not doing this, it's not doing that. It's like, okay, so whatever happened to that idea of, and this is on the Brett thing, it's like whatever happened to that idea of, oh, okay, hey, a smaller game, you know, you shouldn't be having those things. But for some reason, you have those expectations when you have those silly side-scroller games that keep getting put out. But I think a lot of that is, again, people are following trends because those trends are doing good. And it's not because based off of the idea of, hey, I want to make my own, you know, like, you know, not fully based off of, hey, I want to make something new. I want to make something that works, that, you know, that seems to have worked for someone else, which existed when we were young too. You know, you had a bunch of, you know, hey, look, hey, I have the Mega Man game clone too, right? You know, but I think, yeah, I think for now it's just the greatness that we did see is just, we're just getting kind of watered down, you know, duplicates of them as opposed to really legitimate things. Like, and I think the younger generation is not as picky, and they never will be. If you go back in the day when we were talking about movies, where it's like, you know, they're like, oh, hey, you know, this big special effects media thing is really great. Well, it's like, well, no, you know, we did that years ago. We just didn't have the ability. Well, okay, whatever, you know, it's that same sort of idea. The new is always the thing that is always going to catch people's eye. And it's always, you know, because of the ignorance of the audience and not knowing what the past did, you continue to keep throwing out the same ideas over and over. Years ago, I was interning at Marvel, and at one point, Chris Claremont, he'd be like the in-house, like the uniting writer, and he asked a lot of our interns, like the interns, like myself included, oh, hey, what things would you like to see? And then he's like, at the same time, it's like we pretty much asked for this a bunch of the same things that had already happened, because we didn't have the history of everything that had existed prior. So reason why we're getting a lot, because again, we're old enough to remember the way things were. We've already seen it a lot of the time. So yeah, in general, I agree with a lot of the points here. I don't know of any way that could fix it. Maybe the thing is that we don't need spending so much money on these ideas. So, you know, these sort of smaller ideas, you know, that take a shorter amount of time to do. I look at games like Journey, you know, obviously some things about that game are very, you know, very familiar. But then what was the thing that game did? That game gave birth crazily to the passive online mode, which did exist in some other titles. So it's like, you know, I think the indie space can bring things to the table, but I think a lot of times it's just like, what is the cost of bringing some fully new? Yeah, that's it for me. Yeah,
good stuff.
Speaking of indies, last thing.
Yeah.
Speaking of indies, and to Brett's point, there's still one juggernaut of a innovation that the indie space has to provide, and whenever Space Citizen comes to fruition, that'll be
Star Citizen.
That'll be the biggest innovation of all time.
Yeah. I want to get Chris and Rich's thoughts on this, but real quick, I want to say some Jolly Yellow Nerd. Tony said we didn't get a lot of questions, so this might be a short show. Spends 30 minutes on one question. I love this show. Listen, we only got five more questions, so I'm like, I'm milking this one because this is like our top tier question here. Manny, I don't know if you want to find like a for featured image, could be like some old men screaming or something. I don't know. Anyway, Chris, what are your thoughts on this? And I kind of want you to work in, you know, my favorite phrase that you came up with, the Applebee's of gaming, which I think is perfect for this.
Oh, you know? Sure. Well, it's funny because we've been around long enough, especially me. I mean, my first console was the 2600. We've lived long enough to see corporate buyouts and safety, like, that was the first Applebee's of gaming when there's no Applebee's. You know, it could be like the Red Lobster of gaming. You had Atari just dominating everyone. They were like, oh, space is big and, you know, you know, we could get away with whatever we want. And they just flooded the market, killed the industry in the 80s. We've come full circle. We had a breakout with Nintendo and stuff. We had a lot of people jump in. You had, I mean, there was such a thing as indie and I would say AA and AAA. They were mid-tier studios, right?
Yeah.
Smaller guys who could get some publishers or whatever to pick up their stuff and then, but still have the creativity and the flexibility of indie stuff. That has now shrunk to a non-existent state. We now have this disparity where you have indie stuff, like Brett was talking about, and everybody else has been swallowed up by major publishers and developers. So there's no mid-tier studio anymore. Like they've been Sony has bought them out, Microsoft's bought them out, EA buys them out, Activision buys them out. You know, they're just gone. Ubisoft buys them out. So now they're just absorbed into these things. They take the IP, they rip the studios apart, the studios change, a lot of the talent that made the stuff leaves, and then so it's a shell, it's a name. We've seen that with Rocksteady and Suicide Squad. We've seen it so many times. So what I would think that you almost need the industry to collapse again for it to break apart and then get quality mid-tier stuff and get promotion of indie stuff where it's on a level playing field with the AAA stuff. And also the AAA budgets will come down. Because when you have a collapse like that and then people back away from gaming, you have to bring people back in. So you're not going to play it safe. You're going to take chances again, right? And so we're in the middle of that. We're in the slow collapse
Yep.
of the game industry. And what I would love to see is, like, there's been a lot of guys, like the original guys from Rocksteady, they spun off a studio. I would love to see more of that and then see what fruit that bears, because that will completely shift things back towards creativity and taking chances and actually catering to the audience, because we have a huge problem now with DEI initiatives and whatever. We're not catering to the audience. They're not looking for aiming for center and getting the most sales. There's too much activism in a lot of titles for it to be profitable at all. You know, so, you know, we see it with Dragon Age. We see it with, Concord. I mean, Concord got destroyed in 10 days.
Yeah.
That yeah. bullshit. You know, a live service game that was supposed to have years of content and DLC and season passes, whatever, 10 days dead. You know, hundreds of millions of dollars down the drain. And I, you know, I'm here for it. I want that shit to stop. All that the budgets need to get in check. There needs to be smaller scopes with higher turnarounds, so there's more stuff for people to play and sample. And even the large studios need to start testing stuff. Put out demos. Put out smaller games to see what people want. And then gear your development towards that. Instead of coming down like this monolith, like, we know what's best for you. No, you don't. So you lose hundreds of millions of dollars and you're like, oh shit, we have to, you know, can this studio fire a whole bunch of people and regroup? But it's the same retards who caused that problem in the first place. So you're never going to fix it. You don't look in the mirror and go, hey, it's my fault. And we need to think differently. So that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And don't forget, you know, my other favorite, which is also indicative of other industries, where you get some publishers, you know, developers telling you, oh, if you don't like it, don't buy it. Okay. People aren't going to buy your game. Then your studio gets shut down. Yeah, that's smart. All right. And lastly, before we move on to the other questions, Rich, what's your take on this conversation?
Well, first and foremost, this has been a very entertaining and a heated discussion. I think everyone has made some great points. I have a couple of thoughts that are a little bit different from what has been discussed. So first and foremost, while I do like the question, the mention of early 50s, look here, bro, I'm not anywhere close to 50 years old. So please, I'm in no rush to turn 50, so I have to start off by saying that. So here's the thing. I'm currently in my 40s, early 40s. I don't, you know, I've played a lot of games, but there are still quite a bit of things that I haven't really played in terms of the past. Of course, I play a lot of indie games. So when Brett was talking about Sifu, I am 1,000% there with him on that game, as well as shout out to Torrance Davis, because he also loves that game.
And so did the TGA say nominated for best fighting game of the year.
Oh
really?
Yeah.
Fighting game.
Yep.
I didn't chime in there. I played it too, but I turned 156 just fighting the first guy, so I was like, oh, this is not for me.
Yeah. That's understood. One thing I will say is I know that the comment was directed to say that the majority of us don't maybe we're not liking the current games. I wouldn't say that I am. I don't think I would call myself cynical quite yet. Now, maybe that can happen over the course of the next several years. I'm pretty open to playing a lot of different things, because one thing I will say about indie games, and this is the same thing I've said about a lot of independent movies and independent music, a lot of that stuff is actually really good and to some extent better than some of the mainstream stuff. So I'm always willing to give a game a chance if I think it's interesting. Innovation is very cool, but at the end of the day, I just want a good game. You know, Sifu, Path of Exile 2, Sea of Stars, all great games. And I would make the argument that I would much rather play those games than a remastered version of Until Dawn or Horizon Zero Dawn. I mean, that's because that's all we got. There you go. Yeah, that's all we got this year was remasters.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've gotten a lot this whole generation. Anyway, go on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree. So, but I definitely will say, but this is one thing I do want to say, and this is a bit controversial. Okay, I agree that everyone has their preference, and I respect that. But the one thing I will say, and I think we can all agree on this, as well as the people who are watching this show, and to an extent, Jay Chef, because he posted this question for a reason, right? I will play any game and check out any game, but I will not play a game that has a forced agenda.
That is
the real reason here. That's the real point, I think, of this question, because you said that you feel as though we may not like certain stuff. I don't like certain stuff when they make changes that don't need to be made with certain characters that I know of. Certain stuff, and then they have a particular storyline or stuff in the game that doesn't need to be there. It's just put in there just for the sake of, you know, because somebody wants to say some type of message about something. I don't like some of that stuff, especially Suicide Squad. Now, that game, hot garbage, okay? Hot garbage. But to me, those are the type of things that would prevent me from playing in any type of game when it's a forced agenda. And of course, there are certain people that they do employ at these companies. They may have certain views. They said, we got to put that in the game. So Dragon Age was used in that question as well. I have no comment on Dragon Age, the Fail Guard, because I won't be playing that garbage. I will say I am definitely concerned about Mass Effect. If this same team is working on Mass Effect, yes, this is cause for concern. And that may be the time when I may become very cynical and I may have a lot of negative comments. So stay tuned for that, ladies and gentlemen, because it might be coming.
Yeah, he's going to sound like me and you, Carlos. Oh, man.
Well, I mean, the last portion of that, it did sound like me and you.
It really did. And by the way, just to prove a point that at any age, Carlos, you're like, what, 10 years younger than me? And we both feel the same fucking way. You know? So, you know, is that really about age there, bruh? You know? All right, good question. Okay,
one last thing. Yeah, I would say for this generation, for myself, I wouldn't say it's that bad, but I would also add that I don't play games at the speed that everyone else does.
Yeah, you play your own pace.
In other words, I still have Wukong, I still have Stellar Blade. You know, I'm playing Slitterhead right now. Like, these are obviously all old games. You know, at least the first two are all considered old games. So, I mean, what's taking up my time, you know, really? It's really just playing the games that we do. So I feel like in that sense, it's like, it's not that bad for me. But I think, you know, people who are just kind of looking for, you know, banger, 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 I feel like it just doesn't, you're not eating that good because you have the expectation of everything coming out and you're playing things in a week and then not, and that's it. You're playing things in a shorter time and then you're just like, okay, give me the next hit. Yeah. That's mine.
Or you play one game and then you don't play another one for months because the bad bangers don't come. There's that too.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, right now I don't have anything. I don't need anything to come. If something does come, that's fine. But I, you know, again, I have the ones that I'm going to be playing. That's about it. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Move on. Good stuff. And yeah, like I said, we didn't get a lot of questions, so I wanted to ride that one out because I knew that was going to be some good discussion. Another one from Mr. J. Shep. This is what we kind of talked about before, or I've said, you know, my theory on it, but we're getting a question about it. And a Syrian Air Force asked the same question too. Will there ever be a version of Xbox Game Pass on PlayStation or Nintendo that's limited to Xbox exclusives? Maybe. Who knows? You know, because I think that's the only way Xbox Game Pass could work on other systems. Like, for example, if Xbox Game Pass was on PlayStation, it couldn't have third-party games on it because it would eat into Sony's profits, right? So it would only have to be Xbox exclusives. That's the only way I could see it working, if it ever happens. I'm not sure if it could, but who knows? If they go full software, maybe that's the ride it's going to take. Xbox Game Pass, just got Xbox exclusives, and that's that, you know?
I like to make a comment on this. Very interesting question. My answer to that question, Xbox games are already on PlayStation and coming to PlayStation, so why do they need Game Pass?
That's a good point.
Indiana Jones is coming. I'm pretty sure in the future you're going to hear something about, oh yes, Halo and Gears. So once that happens, there's no need for Game Pass. So just bring all the Xbox games over to PlayStation.
Yeah, that is true. It'll probably sell more copies that way, you know, because PlayStation guys are already used to buying games, you know. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. All right. Anybody else want to jump in on that?
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, we've kind of talked about this before, so not really much more to say. All right. Move on. Mob Hits got two questions for us here, man. Has the recent PlayStation Portal update that allows for cloud streaming of select PlayStation games be a game changer? I don't think so.
There's nothing game changing about it. That shit should have been on the fucking thing as soon as the goddamn thing launched.
Yeah.
You wait till how many months later? Has it been 6 months?
No, it's been a year, later? Dude. It's been a long time.
It was a year for them to figure out how to get it to be able to run those things on there. And that you don't need to have it compared to a fucking PlayStation in order for it to run. Stupid shit.
Yeah, and you're limited to like whatever games are on the PlayStation collection, and you need to be a premium subscriber to play those select games. So I don't understand how it could be a game changer when you're not getting the full PlayStation experience. And Manny, I just double checked now. It is over a year since this came out. So there
that
you go.
Should have been the first feature. That should have been the first feature that it allowed you to play your, play those PlayStation Plus games like that. But then, you know, but then again, it's like you release this all internet dependent console, and you don't have that ability on top of there.
That's stupid. Here's the thing, they made it slightly even more usable fuck, even, now. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Can't you actually play games on like your PC, the remote PC games there, right? Like on PC, like in other words,
you can't use remote play on that thing, which is stupid. A fucking iPhone is more useful than this thing, you know?
Yeah, come on, guys. Like
iPhone with remote so play, you know?
Yeah, you telling me you got this? Yeah, it could use remote play on its own. Like, come on, guys. It's simple stuff. If you're making this all digital, all internet console, make sure it's all doing the things that it needs to do to be able to make it attractive to people that are interested in that stuff. Again, you shouldn't need to. The idea would be you shouldn't need to have your fucking PlayStation on all the way at home in order to play some of these games. That's what it should.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's not a game changer. It's just shit that it should have had. And to be honest, the real shit it should have had, and, you know, when some of the modders were doing that thing, they got that shit to play some actual games, you know?
Yeah.
Like the actual on the hard drive. That's what it really should be. It really should be the successor to the PlayStation, PlayStation Portable. And then what you should do with it, let's say you can make this silly thing about a little bit stronger than a PlayStation, and it plays all PlayStation. and it plays all the previous generation stuff, and you can do your silly remote play bullshit.
Yeah, but the thing is, you can't even play games locally on it, you know?
Yeah, and that's the thing. That thing should be playing games locally, and if it doesn't play, okay, obviously it can't play a PlayStation 5 game, but it sure, most assuredly can play a PlayStation 4 game. But why not make that make the PlayStation 4 era of games the handheld era of games? That's nothing. That's not, and that's better than whatever the Switch has got.
Yeah.
You make a console, you make a handheld that's about as strong as a PS4, or maybe a little bit above. PlayStation 4 games, and then there you go.
The
and
first
you don't
feature.
Need to spend a budget.
Yeah.
You don't need to spend a big amount of budget to make those things, spitting those things out. But hey, the PlayStation Portal did well, so we're in that world now.
Yeah, it did. It did. Crazy enough. Asir and Air Force, the first feature should be to have native Bluetooth support. Yeah, it didn't have that, which is crazy.
Didn't have that either. Oh, yeah, no, didn't it use that goofball PlayStation-like proprietary signal that uses that garbage? Come on, guys.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous.
You give people the option to use that shit if they want to, so you can stick your stupid PlayStation branded headphones.
Yeah, the Pulse headset. Yep. They force you to do
Pulse,
that.
The stupid Pulse headset, which the fucking console doesn't use. It needs a goddamn dongle for.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. All right. Moving on here. Another one from Mr. Mob Hits. This one is the man loves his hypothetical question. Given the good reception that the Avowed is getting based off the previews, should Obsidian have helmed the upcoming Fable instead of Playground Games? Here's the thing. If they were to do that, then you wouldn't have been getting Avowed. Because, you know, they're not going to be juggling two games at once. That's how these studios work anymore. The big ones, they just do one game at a time for the most part. There's exceptions, obviously, but for the most part, that's how it is. So if they were to also do that, you would have to give up Avowed. So which one would you want, you know? I think they're better off with Avowed, to be honest. That Fable's looking like a mess, bro, you know? So,
I think in general, to be honest, it's fine that it's, I think, you know, like when it comes to like something like Fable, there's nobody there that's made that done as Fable that made no Fables that were.
Yeah, no Peter Molyneux.
There's no Peter Molyneux or even, you know, even the actual director of that game.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, Peter Molyneux, he was the idea guy. He wasn't the guy that was like pulling everything, doing all the day to day behind the scenes. Who are those people? Who are the guys that do those things? Because here's again, thing about games. Games are not made by one person. If they were, you know, back in the day, yes, this was true. You know, when he created Populous, you know, what is it? You know, he made that game. So, like, you look at who the people are behind the scene. If it's not the same people, you're probably not going to get the same thing. You know, you look at the Dragon Age game that just came out. How many of those people from the original Dragon Age teams from that game? Nobody. And obviously, nobody's good. Nobody wants to look. Everybody just sees the stupid IP name on that shit. It says, oh, well, it's a Dragon Age game because they say it's a Dragon Age game. You know? So,
oh,
yeah.
Man.
Veil Guard.
Well, go ahead, Chris. This is like the logic with associating Suicide Squad with Rocksteady, the Rocksteady that made Arkham games.
Yeah.
It's all bullshit. Like, you have not even a skeleton of the corpse of Rocksteady with the people in there now making that game. Same thing with BioWare. I can't imagine how many original guys are probably left, probably very few. And they were going after that YouTuber that was getting the insider leaks.
Yeah.
The only reason they're going after him probably because he has legit info. They wouldn't go after him if he was spewing bullshit. So, and he's saying they're getting pushed out. And it's like the old school guys are pushed out, you know, and they bring in a lot of... you know, I guess the activist, right? Yeah. You know, I'll say that.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And I'm really glad you bring up this point because I know somebody will check. Yes, if you go back far enough, when the Suicide Squad was first announced, I'm pretty sure I was one of the guys that said, Rocksteady, Suicide Squad, give me this fucking game, right? But then what happened like about a year or two ago when we learned that the main guys were gone, we were like, yo, I don't know about the Suicide Squad game anymore. And we were right, you know? So basically, yes, you know, if you know it's the same core team that made the good shit, like, okay, you should be hyped. But then when the people that were on the studio are no longer there. Like the Hauser, you know, I'm like, oh, I don't know, bro, about that GTA 6, you know, Dan Hauser left. We'll have to see. But yeah, no, it's always, again, do your research, man. If you're going to be into a hobby, do your fucking research, bro. All right, let's move on here. Assyrian Air Force, who's also joining us. By the way, Assyrian Air Force, I'm only going to answer one of your questions tonight, and I'm going to explain why, because we're going to do something else with your other question. But we'll wait for it. But I'll save that for the end of the show. He goes, I hope you guys are doing well. We are. And happy Thanksgiving to all you guys who celebrate. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. And your question also is going to be tied in with Thanksgiving. We'll get to that. Anyway, so the main one we'll ask tonight is, will any of the big three, you know, Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, have a major announcement at the Game Awards? I'm going to say yes, because they always do. Even if it's not something monumental, you're going to see, where's Adam at? Gotta have something, you know?
Gotta have something.
Yeah, If you have a bunch of people willingly watching a bunch of advertisements, you know, for the next thing that's coming out, you know, and not actually a really an award show, yes, because it has that pull. So yes, it's going to come. Something is going to be there. You know, we'll see. Maybe we'll finally see those. What those new games? That's maybe one of those new games that Sony says is going to be coming in the next 2 years. You know. 25 yeah. or 26, you yeah. know, I'm sure Kojima's going to, you know, come up and eat up 10 minutes of 10 minutes of airtime talking yep. about a game.
Meanwhile, people are going to be rushed off the stage.
Meanwhile, everybody's going to be rushed off the stage this year. You know, somebody should go, you know, I'm going to say this, speaking of Game Awards, man, somebody had just to fuck with Jeff. Right, you know, they come on in there, you know, they have their jacket all closed up, and then they open it up,
wrap it up.
Yeah, all right, wrap it up.
That's funny, man. But yeah, I don't want to go down the rabbit hole of speculating on what we see, but yeah, I think it's pretty much guaranteed. You're gonna see at least one thing from one of the big three for sure. You know, we'll just have to see. Good.
Do you think that we'll get the Switch announcement or reveal at the Game Awards?
I don't think so. No. They're going to do their own thing.
Nintendo classically doesn't announce anything that you don't already know.
If Nintendo...
They'll do their own show. Their own thing will be about that thing. They won't put that a console.
No, they'll reveal essential information like Cranky Kong being in Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze. Stuff like
that. Exactly. It'll be that. That's what you get, Jeff.
Or a Mario Kart 8 level. If Nintendo announces a Switch 2 on the Game Awards, either Nintendo is at the most desperate point of their careers, of their lives, which they aren't right now, or Jeff Keighley sold his soul to the devil.
Oh, shit. To Miyamoto.
He paid some money. I mean, he could have paid some money over to them and be like, hey, but I don't think he has that kind of money to be able to
lock an
exclusive like that. That's why you get a pittance of like, we have the new Luigi's Mansion game. And guess what? Mario's in it.
Yeah. Yeah, those are the types of announcements you can expect from Nintendo on these types of shows. Xbox is a completely different story, though.
Yeah, we don't know. Yeah.
And Sony might give them something.
Yeah. Rich, what do you think, man?
This is a prediction for all three. Xbox will definitely have, have something they hadn't before, but I think they'll put a significant
They reveal the console, so you never know.
They reveal the console. Yeah, I think they think they have a big title that they're going to be announcing there. Maybe we'll probably see something. Sony, I think there'll only be one or two things, but I think there'll be things that we sort of already know. You know, like things that we've, you know, like I said, I think a Death Stranding 2 thing is going to be, and I think maybe something else, more information. And then I would say, what was the last one? Nintendo? Oh, Nintendo's just... And then, a cheesy information. Like, hey, we did this. Okay, you already do that. Stuff like that.
Yeah. All right, Rich, get in here, man. What are your thoughts?
All right, so my first answer is yes. All three will have something major to say. As for Nintendo, since Metroid Prime is nominated for anticipated, they got to show some more of that. Mm. I would imagine they'll show that, and they'll get more details about when it's coming in 2025 and like you guys said, whenever they announce the Switch successor, they will confirm this game is coming to that platform. That's for Nintendo. For Xbox, I do feel as though Microsoft, this is supposed to be a very big year for Xbox next year, you know, 2025. They've already announced Avowed is coming out in February. You have South by Midnight, and then, of course, Fable is supposed to come out. So I would assume they are going to show more Fable. Maybe they'll announce some release dates. And I do expect them to announce a new Xbox title that will be called Xbox Tax. So there you go. And for Sony, Sony, once again, they have said multiple times that 2025, that's when they're going to start to expect to release more first-party titles. So probably we'll see more of Ghosts of Yotai because, once again, that is nominated. So they have to show some of this stuff because we're going into a new year. I would imagine they'll say something about that. I will say, as for Death Stranding 2, I 1,000% expect to get a release date at this show because obviously that game is not going to win most anticipated. We all know that if Jeff could move mountains, he would get that to win most anticipated game. It is not going to win against Monster Hunter and GTA. It's not happening. So at the very least, to hook his boy up, release date for Death Stranding 2, that has to happen. Because right now, for Sony exclusives, the only game that we know is coming out next year, Ghost of Yotai, no release date. So they have to start talking about this stuff because we're going into 2025 unless they wait until the very last minute and they start talking about stuff. But that's just my thoughts.
Yeah. Anybody else want to jump in on what the big three might or might not show, the TGAs?
It's a tough one because, again, it's just guessing and just trying to basically will things to happen. But I think Nintendo will show nothing of excitement. Maybe announce some sort of RPG type thing or some sort of Mario related thing or even Sonic related thing since there's a Sonic film soon ish, right?
I'm not sure.
Or there was, I don't remember. So yeah,
yeah, next month.
Sonic related. Okay, so I'm certain it's something Sonic related, makes sense. And Xbox, I'm guessing that they'll reveal what one of the other studios has been working on. So maybe something new. It probably won't be that exciting. And Sony, I'm guessing that they'll just do the usual stuff where they'll announce something that won't come out for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And maybe some Ghost of Yotai stuff. There's been rumors of the God of War collection being remastered. So if that's real, then I can see it being announced at the Game Awards. And that's about it.
Yeah, and Christopher Judge has been teasing that we will be getting some God of War announcements, plural, soon. So this could tie into that. So we'll see.
Is he nominated for anything? Maybe he's maybe got a speech that
long,
he
wanted. Nominated for longest speech, you know?
that confirms that that's going to happen because, you know, he burned Xbox at that last speech. So the last speech. So, yeah, sounds good.
So his category is best ongoing speech.
Yes, best ongoing speech. There you go.
And we all know the Game Awards is not above creating
that's right
categories and then helping them the following year to get just to get these things in there.
Yeah. It's all about the prestige, Manny.
You know. All right, man. We have one final question. This one's a sponsored question. A very generous guy called E-Man Land. Thank you for sponsoring Mob Hits' question. The question is, what secret level episode are you guys most interested in watching? Manny, for no particular reason, you can answer first.
Oh, there's actually kind of a lot of interest in there. There is the Mega Man one, which they sort of redesigned Mega Man. They gave it a little key look. That's I'm fascinated. I want to see what that whole PlayStation episode is about. They showed like a couple of seconds of Kratos and stuff like that. I think it might be a lot of people have a what do they call it? They think it might be like their Super Smash Bros. Clone game where it's a bunch of PlayStation genres sort of thrown together. They also have a Warhammer one, which is cool, and I think that has Keanu Reeves in it.
like a CG Keanu Reeves in. Some of the other ones, I did see a couple of, they showed a preview of the Sifu episode, and that one looks really cool. Like the styling on it, for those of you who might have seen it, it sort of looks like a lot like the Arcane show that's on Netflix. So it has that sort of painted looking styling to it. Whereas like a space between, like it has, you know, like a painted and sort of a CG look. So yeah, there's a couple of them on there that I want to check out. Some of the other ones, I can't remember what some of them are. I know there's a Concord one in there, and I'm not gonna say I'm excited to see it, but I'm curious to see what they're going to do with it, especially with the, you know, and they haven't said that they got rid of it. You know, people thought that they were going to remove the Concord episode from this secret level show, but apparently they're not. So what's going to go on there? But I don't know. Maybe we'll actually see. Maybe there's you'll see what the thought of potential of that Concord world was. Maybe it'll be more of that. Because if you remember that trailer, it had all that kind of quirky dialogue and all kinds of stuff. It was very sort of, Deadpool-y. Feeling at least on that original thing, but we'll see. But that one's not really on my list of like, oh, I need to see it. It's more like a curiosity. Well, what are you gonna do with it anyway? Yeah, that's it.
All right, I have a list of the games that will be featured, so I guess I can run them down in case you think they might cool. be exciting. So we have Armored Core, Concord, we have God of War, but it doesn't say which one, Crossfire, Dungeons and Dragons, Exodus, okay, Honor of Kings, Mega Man, New World, Pac-Man, and then just says PlayStation, so, okay. Sifu, Splunky, The Outer Worlds, Unreal Tournament, and Space Marines 2. So, yep. A healthy mix. I just find it funny that the trailer that they announced, they said all your favorite game titles, and Concord was there.
Yeah, like, Concord was on there. Dude. Yeah, all your favorite game titles.
I mean, that may be Richard Bailey Jr.'s favorite title, but not for the rest of us, you know?
Absolutely not. that is the show. That particular episode, I know that our very good friend Carlos and Chris, they are the ones looking forward to that episode. Yes, that was made for them.
Got on my TiVo.
Yeah.
It's all gonna be on Amazon. And to be honest, you remember when I can't remember who said Christopher Judge has an announcement to make. I'm guessing that's what. If there's a specific God of War episode, you know it's not going to be a classic God of War. It's going to be the previous. You know, I mean, it's going to be the most recent one, the one that's in everybody's memory current. So yeah.
All right.
It's not going to be Zeus.
Yeah. Okay. For those of us who don't know anything about this show or have any interest, what is this about? Like, what is this? You're muted.
Not long ago, the creator of the show did a show called Love, Death, and Robots, which was a Netflix, you know, shorts feature. Where, in other words, he gathered together, because he owns a company that creates video game cinematics for games. He's done it for years. A lot of those awesome, really cool cinematics you see in trailers and stuff like that. This is the director of the first Deadpool. His company had did. They even created that leaked footage of Deadpool. That,
yeah.
You know, where he was in the car. That was his company. Anyway, Netflix, you know, got him at one point to do this series of shorts that also take advantage of a bunch of different studios that have created video game cinematics, you know, CG companies, you know, animation studios to do their own little stories. So this show, which is sort of like an extension of that, which was for Amazon, which they take, it's the same idea as Love, Death, and Robots, a bunch of different companies that make, you know, furnished stuff for video games. But now they're actually doing, you know, new shorts based on these video games. So That's all it is. It's like, you know, just a fun little romp through a bunch of familiar video game worlds that he sort of went through. And that's about it. You know, no harm, no foul. Just like, hey, look, just check this. And that's it.
What is it? Is it live action CG animated? What is this?
It From what I know it is, it's mostly just live. It's mostly just features, but they also haven't showed all the little tiny shorts that they're going, the shorts that are going to be doing. My guess is they're all going to be about 30 minutes long, like an episode of a TV series. And it'll be like just different people's takes that go aligned with the franchise. And then obviously stuff like the Mega Man thing and possibly the Pac-Man thing that might veer off a little bit, but still sort of live in that sort of space. Maybe a little bit of a reinvention of those little things, but not everything is going to be. And then just like in Love, Death, and Robots, there's also a famous actor involved, which is Keanu Reeves in this one. Before it was Michael B. Jordan, Love, Death, and Robots, where it was like an interesting half and half that they were doing, where it was some of it was live action, some of it was CG, and it, you know, they kind of went back and forth. Pretty well done. So I'm not sure if they're going to do that with that Keanu Reeves thing, but he's in it. Oh yeah,
I'm looking at the cast here. It seems pretty stacked. Arnold Schwarzenegger, his son, Kevin Hart, Laura Bailey, Keanu Reeves, like you said, Gabriel Luna, Ariana Greenblatt. Now it's a bunch of people no one's ever heard of.
I didn't know Arnold was involved.
Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger and his son Patrick.
What's the deal with his son? Is he?
He's an actor.
Yeah, he's in the this guy. He's actually in that boy spinoff show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's not the Hispanic son, right?
No, the Hispanic son. No, this is his son
it's the Kennedy son. Because he did have another son from when he was with the housekeeper.
Yeah. No, it's not him.
It's not the Hispanic
son. Yeah. Is anybody else gonna watch the show? Go ahead, Rich.
I just want to make a comment. This is just my personal opinion. I read when Brian said the list of the games based on. I just want to say I'm disappointed that there is not a Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about it is because CD Projekt Red is being their own. In fact, you guys might have missed this, but not long ago they already expressed that they're going to be Cyberpunk.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So they already CD Projekt Red seems to have their own like thing. Like they have their Witcher like animated show. They have a couple of other things that are in the pipeline. So that's probably the reasoning why, you know, something like a Cyberpunk didn't show up.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah.
I'll be watching it, Tony, because I think I really love Death and Robots. I thought season 1 and 2 were really good. They had some really good stories. Like most of them are like about 15, 20, 30 minutes long, and they were able to get out like some really good stories in there for such a short time. So there'll always be like one or two that's like, oh yeah, that's like really stand out. Reminds me a lot of the Animatrix, like that type of anthology type ideas. So I thought that was great.
Yeah, or if, you know, for you anime heads, you know, Robot Carnival.
Yeah, with CG memories. Instead of, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the original Love, Death, and Robots, everything, any type of animation on the table. There was the stop motion. There was 2D animation. There was, you know, CGI. So it was a bit of everything. Again, like, in this case, they haven't actually shown previews for everything that's on there. They just showed titles, so we'll see.
Yeah. I'll say this. If they have something that's actually animated, maybe I'll watch it. But if it's just like that Arcane show, I'm good. I'm not watching CG poor shit.
I don't think it's only going to be Arcane. Yeah. Again, like, it's different. It's the way the idea is that it's different takes. You know, like, you know, it could also, again, it could be a stylized scene. You know, it could be something else. I think they're not all just sticking to like hyper realistic stuff. At least I'm hoping, you know, that they're not going to be. But I think, I think it'll be a fun romp.
If it's like Love, Death, and Robots, then you'll get like a variation of different styles in there. So there might be something that you like, something that you don't like, which I think is great as it highlights different styles. It's not all just the same nonsense. So I think this is the part where we all just turn to Tony and say, Tony, don't watch it.
Yeah, I'm already not interested because I don't see the point, you know.
Good.
But you know, but listen, I'm not gonna tell nobody to watch it because I don't know.
Why would there be a point?
Like, I don't understand the reason behind this. That's what's confusing.
What is the reason why there is anything that exists? You know, like why make a show?
Welcome to the channel.
Yeah, no, it's yeah. Like, yeah, no, but it's like for example, Dragon Ball Z, what's the point of that? It's cool anime guys fighting the shit out of each other with crazy powers.
No, I mean,
that's the point of it. Like, I don't understand the point of this.
It's the same, again, think of it like an anthology series, like Memories or Robot
Comedy. But it's not that. It's not even animated like that.
Oh, no. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Really? Because I saw a lot of CG.
I'm saying this. It's an animated anthology series. Just like any one of those different people taking these different, with some of them may be familiar, some of them being, you know, maybe a total switch in a different direction than what, that's all it is, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not, and they're not making a movie. They're just making a little episode. Hey, this is something here. Cool. Move on. That's all.
Is it like a showcase of what, okay, because you said Robot Carnival. So is it like a showcase of what each studio can do? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay. That's all I needed. I'm like, what is the point of that? Yeah. It's a showcase for studios. Cool. There you go.
That's it. And you know, again, this guy has been known for making these really cool, pre-rendered cinematics for trailers and video games. So it's a bunch of these different studios handling these sorts of ideas. So it's like, what if you took that awesome cinematic, right, and actually made it into a full narrative instead of just a snippet that just shows up when you complete a level,
like Final Fantasy, what's the name of it, Spirits Within? It's like kind of like that, like, hey, yeah, look at this CG studio, look what they could do. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, pretty much that. Yeah,
yeah. All right, see, mm-hmm. That got my answer. You know, like, what is the point of this? Now I got my answer. All right, and Rich, will the Coalition be doing any content about around this game, since it marries both gaming and entertainment?
Yeah, there may be some stuff coming. At the moment, I don't really know what my involvement will be because I'm going to be very busy for the next couple of weeks. This is supposed to start, I believe, on December 10th, and it's 2 episodes every week. So,
okay.
But yeah, there probably will be some stuff said about it for sure.
All right, man. So wrap it up. Okay, so a couple house cleaning things. We will be doing the Thursday show on Wednesday because of Thanksgiving, which is what we usually do every year. But one thing that we're doing this year that's a little different, because for whatever reason, the way the stars aligned, we need to do an extra, like, we have to do a week of filler, kind of, so the numbers align for, like, the episodes and stuff. Because the last episode of the year has to be episode 515. And if we were to do things like the way we normally do, the last episode would be on the night of the Game Awards, because Game Awards changed shit around this year. Normally, they're the first week of December. Now, they're the second week of December. Throws us all off, you know? So just to keep our numbering correct, next week, Wednesday and Sunday, we will be coming to you. But we're not going to have numbered episodes. We're going to have special episodes. What we're going to do for those episodes, we don't know yet, but we will be live and talking about stuff. One of them, what we will be doing, though, and this is going back to what Syrian Air Force asked, for the Wednesday show, since it is before Black Friday, we will devote a portion of the episode to, I guess, for lack of a better term, a holiday buying guide, gaming buying guide, to be specific. So we're talking about what games, you know, we think people should get, what devices, what peripherals, all that fun stuff. And, you know, we'll throw in, you know, games we've been playing and any other random, any other fun stuff. On my TV?
On your TV.
On my TV. You know, your boy. And then for the Sunday show, it may be questions related. It may not. We'll see, but we'll do something, you know. And then we'll be on track. Then the week after that will be like the last normal week of the year. Then after the week after that will be the Game Awards. Then the week after that, the year-end special. Then we take 2 weeks off, and we come back the first full week of January. And I could actually say this now. It was still up in the air if I was going to be on that first episode of January. Because this year, if you guys remember, I was not on it because I was coming in from Vegas. It was already late. I was tired as fuck. They just changed my flight time around. And I actually will be back in New York with plenty of time to spare. So I'll be here for episode 516 for next year. Again, this is why I like having the numbers be a specific way, because I know what episode is going to fall on what day. Like 550 is going to fall on the first Thursday of September. You know, this is the way Throwdown rolls, because when we get to 600, it just works out that way, you know. But yeah, we'll be here on Wednesday, Thursday, but they won't be our normal episodes. So this should be pretty fun. So stay tuned. Also, Rich, what is happening with the coalition? I imagine might be an interesting week because you guys are kind of off for the last half of it for Thanksgiving.
Well, that's a great point. I don't know how accurate the point is, because there are still quite a bit of things happening behind the scenes. So as for the coalition on the gaming front, I've actually been working on something that I will be talking about later this week on the website.
Oh, shit.
You might want to check it out, because, again, this is another preview thing that I've been doing. So stay tuned for that. There'll be some more reviews coming, some other reviews that we have been working on. And as for any other shows, I am still going to be recording continuing my cross-discussion show with Dana. So stay tuned for that. We'll see about Secret Level and this other stuff. We're still figuring that stuff out, but stay tuned. But otherwise, yeah, plenty of things coming this week. Even though it's a holiday, yeah, I will take off Thanksgiving, but there's a couple of things to cover before that.
So. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and Rich and I, we got stuff cooking too for Throwdown, so stay tuned. That's all we're going to say about that. Yeah. You know, that's all we're going to say about that. We're not Tom Henderson here breaking embargoes and stuff. And then before we go, the last thing I want to say, because, you know, I have something that's very near to me, very near and dear to me. Manny also has this. Like, if you love fighting games, get yourself a copy of Marvel Capcom Fighting Collection, bruh. It's here. Manny, yeah. I'm actually holding it. This is real. Crazy, you know? So, you know, I'll talk more about this, even though I've been talking about it for months, but good stuff. Pick this up. Dio, shout out to Dio. He got this as well. He's showing it off. Do yourself a favor and don't look at that horrible art book. It's trash. You know, play the game.
It's a comic that I can
with. It's fucking terrible. Maybe it's good as little because you can't see how bad the art is, you know?
The other thing, you have an idea of that. And maybe you should probably listen to Special Instinct.
Yes, so stay tuned to get yourself a copy, physical copy, the PS4 version, Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection, nominated for Best Fighting Game of the Year, by the way. So there you go.
It's so weird that an old game
The newest game on this fucking collection came out in 2000, man.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, it just feels like they really need to just double set up check a that category shit. That's the year, like the year 2000, like when the Dreamcast came out. Yeah, it's that old. It's
right? 2000. The newest game on this collection came out in the year 2000. Yet this is nominated in the year of our Lord 2024 as one of the best fighting games of the year. Objectively speaking, yes, it is, obviously, because Marvel vs. Capcom. But a new game should not, you know what? Listen to the Thursday show, because I'm going
to
go on.
Or listen to the first topic.
Yeah, listen. Tied it all in together, you know? Great year in gaming, you know? Man. All right, man, we're out of here. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter, subscribe on YouTube, and join the Discord. And obviously follow us on your favorite podcast app. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seely.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
This is
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
And Brian Manjoma.
It's hard to believe that's now a couple of weeks until the end of the year.
Yeah, it's crazy. We're getting there. But you know what? You can buy yourself some Marvel's Capcom collection. Let's go! Oh, man. All right, guys. We'll see you on Wednesday, man. Later.
Peace.